May the Lord help us to commence this solemn service of baptism by singing to God's praise hymn 984. And I would just say, friends, the first two hymns were chosen by our dear friend Sarah. Hymn 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. We read a part of Peter's sermon, the day of Pentecost, commencing to read at verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to verse 41. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the flesh of his fruit, as the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God hath raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there added unto them about 3,000 souls. And now please turn to chapter 8 of the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 8, and we commence to read at verse 26. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word and help us to pray. Kind, gracious, eternal, living God, once again, dear Lord, thy kindness, mercy and goodness gathers a few poor sinners together in this thy house of God this evening hour. And so, Lord, we come, Lord, with that desire we trust in our heart to worship thee, and to worship thee in spirit and in truth, yea, in the very beauties of holiness. We ask and pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt deliver us from all distracting thoughts, so that our heart and minds are fixed on those things which are above, or that we may indeed, see Jesus only. We may hear of Jesus only. Lord, we pray that nothing else then may intrude. We do beg, dear Lord, that thou help us. We read in the Gospels that they were shut in. And we do pray, dear Lord, that we may be shut in tonight with thy blessed Holy Spirit, thy presence. Not only thy presence, dear Lord Jesus, we plead with thee to come and be found here this evening hour as the master of the assembly. Lord, do come, do help. You know, it's, dear Lord, the reason why we come, why we meet together at this sweet occasion, blessed occasion, when one has come forward, Lord, to follow thee in the ordinances of thy house, to walk in the path of obedience, in following Jesus, in that despised way of believers' baptism. And we do pray, dear Lord, that thou graciously help our dear friend Sarah, and be very gracious unto her. You lift up the light of thy countenance upon her, give her peace. And grant, dear Lord, she may go forward. Dear Lord, we have just read of how that eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And may it be the blessed lot of our dear friend to go on rejoicing and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, to walk with him. And pray, dear Lord, that thou would abundantly bless her soul with riches of thy grace and thy love. Do lead into the truth as it is in Jesus. Do instruct in righteousness and truth, and do help her, and help her, Lord, to commit her way into thy hand, and go before her, Lord, in all and every untrodden step. Thou knowest, Lord, what those steps are. We know not, and neither does she. But we do beg, Lord, that thou wilt be with her. Thou hast promised to be with thy people, even unto the end of the world. And, dear Lord, do be with her and be with us each, Lord, until we each come at last, Lord, to our end. And all that our end may be, to be found with Jesus. Or to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, may that be, Lord, the blessed lot of each and every one assembled here in this house of God tonight, to be at last where congregations ne'er break up, where Sabbaths have no end. Lord, it does not bear us thinking about it. Lord, if one soul here tonight should be lost, oh, dear Lord, we pray thou hear prayer. Oh, maybe, Lord, one and another say this: I love to meet amongst them now, and before thy gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all, I cannot bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? Prevent it by thy grace, Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place in this, the accepted day. Then, dear Lord, do fit and prepare us, each and every one, for heaven and for glory. To have our receipt stamped and marked paid in the Redeemer's blood. Gracious Lord, hear our prayer. Our Lord, thou knowest how much preparation we each need for this great event of change in time for eternity. Oh, dear Lord, then, do help us. One said, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform. 'Tis all of grace in Christ's obedience clothed. Wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Lord, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, and may it be real prayer, sincere prayer, or urgent prayer. Lord, that thou wouldst send down answers of peace. Dear Lord, thou hast promised to regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Dear Lord, thou knowest if there's a poor destitute sinner here this night. Lord, that has come maybe with a little who can tell. Come, that seeking some portion for their soul. Come and wanting to know that thou hast a favour toward them. Dear Lord, do then grant it, we pray. Oh, may they not be sent empty away. May they go home with a crumb of mercy from the Master's table, a droplet of water from salvation's wells. Dear Lord, do bless, we pray. Dear Lord, we bow our head before thee. Confession of our sin and guilt, all our transgressions. Sadly, Lord, some of us feel to have got some very, very large catalogues of sin. Dear Lord, and we have. But dear Lord, we come to thee. Oh, because there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Dear Lord Jesus, thou didst say, in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So, Lord, may we come. Or as one said, the vilest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Hear our prayer. Dear Lord, do bless this cause of truth. Do be very near to them. We thank you, dear Lord, that again then one has come forward, Lord, to this time, this ordinance, to put and make an open profession of thy name. Dear Lord, we pray that thou would work in the hearts of many more, so that, Lord, that they cannot stay away, that they have to come and say, come, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what he hath done for my soul. Lord, it may be they say today, Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger, interpose his precious blood. Then, dear Lord, do constrain them. To speak to thine honour, glory, and thy praise. We do beseech thee. We do pray, dear Lord, that remember our friends here that hold office. Undertake for them and help them. Many burdens, responsibilities, which they take very seriously. We do pray, dear Lord, that graciously help them. And be with them. Oh, dear Lord, do bless them together. Dear Lord, they may be, Lord, as a team of horses pulling together the same way. Lord, do bless them, we pray. And bless each church member and each member of this congregation. We do beseech thee. Pray, dear Lord, that thou would bless each one. Lord, leave none out. Dear Lord, do snatch as brands from the burning. Do make trophies of thy grace. And then, Lord, there's some children, little ones. Lord, we lovingly commend them to thee, praying that thou work graciously and mightily in their hearts. Some of them, Lord, they're in arms, but, oh, they've been born only to be born again thy gracious blessed Spirit. Lord, do work. Oh, may they have that good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel. May they have an aching void that this world cannot fill. May their souls be on the stretch to find Christ. May their cry be, gracious Lord, incline thine ear at my request, vouchsafe to hear, hear my never ceasing cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Be with all thy people, Lord, various ones here and there, some we know, many we don't. But dear Lord, we do beg that thou graciously work. Oh, remember those in sickness and affliction's path, but thy hand do heal, do restore, do raise up. Comfort those that breathe, be with widows and widowers, those that have lost near and dear ones, mother, father, brother, sister, child. Undertake, we pray, comfort them and bless them, and be very near. Help us, Lord, to pray one for another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. Be with any in deep distress, deep darkness, with many perplexities. Oh, make crooked straight, rough places plain. Bring down the mountains of impossibility. Make a way where there's no way. And oh, that they may know that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then, dear Lord, do bless. Lord, remember our nation. Govern those who govern us. Pray, dear Lord, that thou mercifully appear. Help us then. We do beg. We need, Lord, thy help. We're only a poor man, Lord. Lord, and a poor man desires to look up unto thee. The psalmist says, I will look up unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And dear Lord, this poor man's help tonight has come from the same place. And dear Lord, do come. Fulfill thy word, thy promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. As we plead, the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll now sing hymn 1106, 1106, and we'll sing the refrain to this hymn, On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Hymn 1106.
Thank you.
in dependence upon thee, Lord, for all needed help. I ask your very prayerful attention to the 8th chapter, the Acts of the Apostles, and verse 35. The 8th chapter, the Acts of the Apostles, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same place, at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And it's my earnest desire, petition, that I might do just the same, that I might preach to you this evening, this blessed Jesus. This Jesus, this Saviour, the Saviour of sinners. If you don't feel your sin, you won't feel you need a Saviour. Thus, you are found in a very sad and solemn place and position. And if that is so, I hope it's not. But if that is so, I exhort you to think about your ways, to think about your life, to think that there is an end, that there is an eternity, a never-ending eternity. Ah, where, yes, the dear Lord's people will be found with Jesus. But otherwise, it'll be where hope and mercy can never come. God forbid that anyone in this assembly this evening should be found there. But oh, that all may be found, yes, clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. May all be found saved. You may not feel tonight that you are saved, but I hope you're not satisfied with that. The Apostle speaks in his epistle to the Philippians about pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. So there is a pressing forward. And there is eternal life for the Lord's dear people. Yes, and why, as you read there in the first chapter of the Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, when there's Joseph and Mary, spouse of Joseph, and the Lord appears and says to him, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thine espoused wife, which is conceived in her ears of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." For he shall. There is no uncertainty. It is very clear, positive language. And it's the language of the Lord himself. The God of heaven had spoke these words to dear Joseph. But there was this Saviour, for he shall save his people. Yes. Oh, yes, and why those that are saved. You know, the dear Lord Jesus said this in his public ministry, did he not? That I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. One says, and sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Or, yes, for this, sinners to repentance. The vile, the base, the very, very worst of sinners. And I could say, and will say, and they don't come any worse than the man standing before you tonight. But I hope, by God's grace, being snatched as a brand from the burning. You know, like you read there in the prophecy of Zechariah, you know, it's been said sometimes, is it not, about the gospel in Zechariah, Christ in the book of Zechariah. And it certainly is. There in the third chapter, why, there's a priest, Zechariah. There is Joshua, the high priest. And why was he there, standing before the angel of the Lord? Because he realized his sin and his guilt. Sinner. Do you and I realize our sin and guilt? How many of us will say, here on my heart, the burden lies, and past offences pain mine eyes? Well, Joshua, you see, is here then before the angel of the Lord. Yes. And Satan standing there as well. Satan stands at his right hand to resist him. Is there a poor sinner here tonight like that? Satan says, you cannot be saved. You're too bad. You're too wretched. You're such a vile, vile, vile sinner. There's no hope for your poor, never dying soul. It tells you to give up. Well, let me just tell you something else, dear soul. Satan always has been a liar. What did Jesus say? And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Yes, you may feel, dear soul, that you're speechless. Speechless or not, your eyes are up. Up unto the Lord. There's that burning desire within. Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, and you wait. Yes. But you know, dear soul, it says here, he stood before the angel of the Lord. Satan stand his right hand. But he was before the angel of the Lord. What do you read in Psalm 109, I believe it is? It speaks there that he stands by the poor. Yes. Yes. He stands at the right hand of the poor. Well, he's a poor sinner. So, dear soul, Don't go home tonight feeling there's no hope for you. The Lord hears and answers prayer. Blessed be his glorious name. Yes, and he regards the prayer of the destitute and he doesn't despise that prayer. Ah, for the sign of the prisoner, yes. Yes, he is after the Lord comes. For the oppression of the poor, the sign of the prisoner. Yes, oh, yes, the Lord mercifully appears. So will I arise, saith the Lord, and set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. You know, the Lord stands for Joshua's defence. And he is, oh, and he'll stand for you as well. He'll stand for you as well, dear soul. Whoever you are, however far off you might feel to be, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Yes, and here's one repenting. Here's one, yes. Oh, the Lord, you see, he stands. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord rebuke thee. That hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Ah, yes, he stands at the right. He stands for their defence. For their defence. Yes, and he pleads on their behalf. Yes. What did Jesus say to dear Peter? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Yes. Oh, what a mercy to be found in the intercessory prayer of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord says, take away his filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have. It's done, sinner. It's done. It's done by the mighty work of the blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Take away his filthy garment, and he said, behold, I have. Cause thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Yes, and I will. Oh, again, the certainty of the words of the Lord. Why, yes, he is all. He is the Saviour. He is the only Saviour, is he not? What did the Apostle say here in chapter 4 of the Acts of the Apostles? Why is this, is it not? It says here, this is the stone which was set of naught of you builders, which has become head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Yes, it is all. And Jesus came to save the lost. Words in Psalm 130 come to mind, again, which may suit some poor soul here tonight. If the Lord were strict to mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Yes, sinner. with all your sin, with all your guilt, with all your transgressions, with all your faults, with all your failings, with all your inconsistencies, with all your heart wanderings, with all your backslidings, with all your sins of omission, with all your sins of commission, so you might go on. There is forgiveness. And again, what did this blessed Saviour say? What did this blessed Jesus say? It was this, wasn't it? All manner of sin shall be forgiven thee, except the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. God forbid any of us should be found guilty of that. But all manner of sin. You just think about it this whole. They go through the Bible, just look at a few characters. Moses, he's committed murder. David committed murder and adultery. Dying thief on the cross at Calvary. He'd been a thief. The deception that's found in Abraham and Isaac. Denying their wife. The lies that were spoken. And yet, they found forgiveness. And as you've just been singing in that hymn, the opening hymn tonight, and say, my soul, why not for thee? Yes, dear soul, he came to say the very, very worst of sinners. Paul writes in the Hebrews, does he not? That he came, yes. No, it's in Timothy. Okay, there's a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. That was his mission, that was his commission, sent from heaven by his Father to save sinners. Yes. Blessed be his name. Yes, and to save them, he did. Yes, our friends, and then preached unto him Jesus. You can't preach Jesus without you preach about his love, can you? We would fail miserably, would we not, if we pass by without speaking of his love. What did he say himself? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes. Tis how he laid by his glory. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, laid by his glory and came down to this earth. Yes, to suffer, bleed and die, to pay the price of redemption of sinners with his own heart's blood, because his great love, his great love to their poor, never dying souls. What is it? Paul writes to us here about the dear Lord Jesus Christ. This blessed word of his grace, which I'm trying to think of and find, is here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Even as Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. What an exhortation. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Why, that true bond of marriage here on earth that many of us here this evening walk in. Yes. Oh, but even as Christ loved the church. Would it repeat it again? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes, dear soul, this was the extent of his love. His love knows no beginning, it knows no end. You know, sinners, Jeremiah speaks of them, doesn't he? Yea, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Oh, his loving kindness. His loving kindness. Some of you, no doubt, with one think of our lives and our sin and so on in times past. Oh, why was I made to hear his voice when thousands choose to die? Yes, oh, his great love. His great love. And there's all in that love. Love to their souls eventually brought him to his intense sufferings, that even angels have no perfect sense. Yes. Why, he becomes, does he not, the blessed Saviour, is the Redeemer, but there's this sacrifice that he makes. Sacrifice. The word of God speaks of, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We go back into the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel come out of Egypt, and that Passover night, that memorable night, when the lamb had been slain, the blood is sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels of their dwelling places. And the Lord promises this, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You come into the Gospels, and John records it, this, does he not, of John the Baptist, who said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world is where the eunuch was reading, was it not? Just turn back here and to Isaiah chapter 53, and we find here, friends, this prophecy of the death and sufferings of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Yes, you know, it starts, does it not, in chapter 52, really? Yes, his visage was more marred than any man. His visage was so marred, more than any man. You ever thought why his visage was marred more than any man? We read here, he bruised, afflicted. You know, when he was arrested, And he was taken there into the judgment hall. There was the smiting on his face. There was such cruel treatment. Spitting in the face of the holy, harmless Lamb of God. It's a disgusting habit. But oh, how low men will stoop. Yes, oh, and to be found, yes, subject to this. Smiting the crown of thorns that have been laid, placed, yes. But then there was that they read that they took and smote that crown and drove that crown of thorns into the harmless head of the Lord Jesus. He that had done so much. He that was doing. He that was carrying out. Yes. He that was suffering in the sinner's place, Rome and stead. But then, perhaps gone a little too far fast, because prior to this he came, did he not, into Gethsemane's garden. Oh yes, stones cast away from the disciples, well, eight of them, takes three with him, Judas is gone. And it stones cast from these three disciples, Peter, James and John, and he prays. Luke tells us this, he was in agony. I think I'm correct when I say it's the only time you find agony in the whole of the scriptures of truth. Seem to be reserved there for the suffering Son of God. What it read here, Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul. Here was the travail of his soul. Sinners here tonight, it is what the Saviour endured. This is what the Saviour went through. This is what this Jesus preached unto him, Jesus. This is what he went through to save his people from death, hell, sin and the grave. That they might be with him in eternal glory. He was suffering in their place, in their room, in their stead. And why in these things? Why you and I get led there? Led there by the Holy Blessed Spirit of God. Very, very humbling. It's why me? Why me, O blessed God, why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? But you know that I've said this here in times past, but it's a very, very precious part, portion of the Word of God to me. When Jesus prayed there to his Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Or this cup, yes, that he was to drink the dregs of the vindictive wrath of God against sin. You know, some of us, and our dear friend, God willing, will on Lord's Day for the first time sit down at the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. There we partake of a cup. We partake the cup of love. He partook of the cup of divine wrath against sin. But his soul, he was sweetly and blessedly submissive. He says, nevertheless. I don't know how you feel, but personally I feel that's the greatest word in the whole of the scriptures of truth. Nevertheless. Not my will, but thine be done. Psalm 40, I think it's the last verse. And the dear psalmist says this to us, does he not? That, oh, this word, let's make sure we quote it correctly. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And when our blessed Saviour was there, sweating great drops of blood falling to the ground, praying unto his Father, but he comes, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Ends. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me not withstanding all. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, and how I'm found was blind, but now I see. Yes, yes, oh that he should be submissive to his Father's will to go through all this to save you and I. And dear soul, if you and I should be affected by this even tonight, you too will come and go through this water. You will. You won't be able to stay away. But all his love to your poor, never dying soul. And you, an old lady, she was in, I think she was about 95 actually. She sat down with us at Croydon for about 25 years, membership elsewhere. But one day, one evening, one was speaking about these things. And I got home, and the telephone rang. It was this dear old lady. Said, I've got to come. And I hope some of you will pick up the telephone as well. And say, I've got to come. For what is done. He said, I can't stay away any longer. I must come. Well, yes, nevertheless, preached unto him Jesus. Well, the judgment hall, which we've already spoken about. But then there was the cross, wasn't there? There was the crucifixion. Yes. The cruel death by which he must die to save. To die there on the tree. But what does God's word declare? Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And he bore the curse. Bore the curse, dear soul, of your sin and mine. Doesn't that humble you? Doesn't that crumble you into the dust of self-abasement? Doesn't that produce true godly sorrow, repentance in your heart? A repentance that needs not to be repented of? It does. Oh, amazing grace. Why me? Yes, dear soul. Oh, blessed be his glorious name. Preached unto him, Jesus. I did allude to it a little earlier. Here's his intercession. Oh, you see, he interceded. You know, but when he came to his end, as we read here in John's Gospel, chapter 17, in the prayer, in the intercessory prayer of Jesus. Yes, and this was a prayer for sinners. And he says here, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Yes, dear soul. He came to seek and to save the lost. And dear soul, and he has prayed for them. And he still prays for them. He intercedes with cries and groans which cannot be uttered. Yes, one says, see a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul, encouraged by thy word, at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. Yes, dear soul, and he does say, and he does answer. Hezekiah was sick unto death. He turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed. And he said, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter, I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. Yes. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things, the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. But dear soul, what do you read here? Go and tell, yes, Hezekiah, the Lord God of thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Dear soul, he is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering Saviour. He's a Jesus, yes. He understands a sigh, a cry, the fall of a tear, the upward glance of an eye when none but God is near. Dear soul, press on. The crowds will fly. And if thou faint, to Jesus cry, and he will send supplies. I leave a few thoughts there. May the Lord add his blessing to them. Now, I'd just like to say a few things about our dear friend as to how she came to this day. I read, it won't take me too long to read this short testimony, blessedly sweet. The Lord's dealings with her soul commence with a picture shown to her in Sunday school, which illustrated a person's passage through life with no time for God, and ended with a gravestone, too late to think upon God. It gave her a real concern, which wore off, but came back to her several times over the ensuing years. At the end of her university course, when she realised she did not qualify as a teacher, her sins came up before her, and she felt God was angry with her. She was such a sinner. God would not listen, and she could not pray. After 2 days, she felt encouragement to pray for the forgiveness of her sins and listened to the website sermon preached at Swavesey on the previous Lord's Day. The text, he led them forth by the right way. The burden of her sin lifted off, and she could see a way forward. It was Christ. For the next few weeks, she was walking in faith, looking to Jesus. She fell back into sin. But then this verse was sweet. The blood of Christ, how sweet it sounds, to cleanse and heal the sinner's wounds. The streams thereof are rich and free. And why, my soul, why not for thee? There was a Jesus who came to save sinners. And she hoped he had come for her. With more and more sin, a minister preached from, it seemeth to me, there is, as it were, a plague in the house, which spoke of her sins, and she felt rising despair. But the hymn came back. Another time, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. She said, I was there, but I had no faith to believe. She prayed for God to settle the matter. A minister preaching from, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, spoke of Christ on the tree, and she could see him suffering for her sins. He had come to die to save a sinner like me. She felt lifted up. She felt a call to go forward for baptism when a minister preached from, there were also with him other little ships. But the devil tempted her with many doubts. Then she was burdened for being disobedient. One Monday evening at prayer meeting, the minister spoke from, come and dine. She saw a beauty in the Lord's table when he spoke of, this is my body broken for you. Her doubts and fears were gone, and she knew she had to come. In 1106, it had been very precious for the last few weeks. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Jesus was our only hope. The Lord bless that to each here this evening.
After the next hymn, Mr. Field will administer the ordinance of believers' baptism to our dear friend Sarah. And afterwards we will sing the doxology, Praise God from whom all blessings... Praise ye the Lord. Alleluia. Praise ye the Lord. Alleluia. 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 Praise ye the Lord. We'll now sing hymn 427. Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glories shine to endless days. Hymn 427.
Jesus. with a few simple thoughts from baptism. And then with the Lord's help, I'll address a few words to our dear friend. First of all, let us be clear. There is no saving power or virtue in passing through this baptismal
We baptize because our blessed Jesus was baptized in the River of Jordan about 2,000 years ago. And on the occasion Jesus said, suffer it to be so now. He has also said on several occasions, follow me. And if ye love me, keep my commandments. And John tells us, his commandments are not grievous. We baptize for love's sake, because of what we believe he has done for us. We baptize on a confession of faith in Christ Jesus and on repentance of sin before God. This water sets forth the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. So one enters the sufferings of Jesus Christ by faith. We come forth from baptism in newness of life with a resolve and desire to live and to follow Jesus. And after baptism, we have the answer of a good conscience. So, Sarah, my dear sister in Christ Jesus, seeking the Lord's direction as to what his will is, if I were to give you at this memorable day in your life, and I trust have been directed to these words in Ruth chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. The Bible speaks of several maidens in both Old and New Testament. There is Ruth, Hannah, and in the second book of Kings, chapter 5, there is a little maid who waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She speaks a quiet word, which was in season. In other words, doing good unto all men. But Ruth was in this field because she had a need. And Boaz realized that, and so instructed her to glean here in this field which belonged unto him. Our heavenly Boaz, the Boaz of this house of God, does from time to time let fall some handfuls of purpose for the likes of any spiritual-minded Ruth to gather up. And I hope and pray you will often find some handfuls of purpose so that your soul is fed with gospel food. And like this blessed character here, take it home, beat it out, and thus obtain the blessing of God which maketh rich. Mr. Buss' text last Sunday evening at Chippenham was verse 14, of this chapter, which I took to be a confirmation to speak to you as I have. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Would you please, after the baptism, please stand for the song of praise to the Lord, and remain standing for the benediction. Thank you. Let us go. As the eunuch and Philip went down into the water together. Love of God, sweet communion, Holy Spirit, be with us all.